One of the many unknowns about the transfer of political authority in Iraq is how a caretaker government will deal with the more than 20,000 private security contractors working in Iraq. Some in Congress, the Pentagon, and the involved companies are taking steps to strengthen oversight, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
There are an estimated 6,000 Western private security contractors in Iraq, with an additional 15,000 Iraqis working for them. They protect civilian VIPs, some supply convoys, and key installations, including more than a dozen regional American headquarters. Detailed rules covering the contractor's use of force varies from contract to contract. But Doug Brooks, head of an association of military services companies, says general rules of engagement stipulate defense only, no offensive combat missions at all.
Private security companies are allowed to defend whatever's in their contract, which can be a building, it can be a convoy, it can be a person, and they're allowed to defend Iraqi civilians under attack. And that's it.
But in Iraq, the line between defense and offense can often blur as contractors get drawn into heavy firefights with insurgents. When that happens, the lines of authority and communication can get murky. Now some in Congress are calling for greater clarity on the oversight, vetting, and legal status of a group that de facto represents the largest U.S. security partner in Iraq.
This situation is headed the wrong way. We're seeing more and more private little armies develop, and it's going to cause us problems.
U.S. Senator Jack Reed and 12 other Democrats recently wrote Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld saying that private armies in Iraq, quote, operating outside the control of a governmental authority risks setting a dangerous precedent. Senator Reed says he's concerned that it remains unclear what legal status and authority private warriors will work under after the transfer to a caretaker Iraqi government.
After July 1st, these are armed individuals that are operating in a combat zone. Who is their contract with? Is it with the new Iraqi government or the old CPA? What status do they have under law? Can they be arrested by Iraqi police? All of these questions have not been resolved yet, and we are days away from a handover.
The death and mutilation of four American security contractors in Fallujah on March 31st prompted some security companies to pool intelligence and work more closely than ever before. Since that grisly ambush, Pentagon sources say U.S. military coordination with contractors has increased as well, including the sharing of some intelligence on insurgents. To provide jobs and save money, Western security companies have contracted with the growing number of private Iraqi security groups. Georgetown political science professor Deborah Avant says there are security concerns given the rise of these private Iraqi armies.
The fact that they are not folded into a sort of general governance arrangement could make you worried if you were nervous about the prospect of people gaining training and going off to work for the insurgency, for instance, or the degree of information sharing, you know, if somebody is working for the private security industry, getting access to information and then trading that with the insurgents. I mean, there's just a lot of complexities.
Under the terms of the U.S.-led occupation, Western security contractors are currently subject to the laws of their parent country, not the fledgling Iraqi judicial system, if they commit a crime or cause an accident. But so far, their post-July 1 legal status is unclear. That's part of the reason contractors in Iraq are now working to create guidelines for operations, training, and vetting. Doug Brooks with APOA, the Association of Military Service Companies, says uniform standards should help.
You have to have some sort of standard, some sort of codes of conduct, I think, for everyone that's going to be armed there. You don't have judges. You can't go back to a scene of an alleged crime and start taking evidence at this point. It's a war still going on.
Pentagon and U.S. Central Command officials say they're currently crafting policy guidelines to clarify the relationship and lines of communication between contractors and the U.S. military. But some wonder who will enforce those standards and whether they'll apply after June 30th. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.